was an amazing weekend. If you want to know all about it, go to my blog. It's not on there yet. I still have to catch you up to things that happened in North Carolina. Yeah, I got some loose ends to tie up there, but pretty soon at martinzender.com in Zenderville, I'm going to bring you up to date with what happened this weekend at the Johnstown Airport. It was a great fellowship. The weather was horrible. 30 people showed up. It was a really great time of fellowship. We had people here all weekend, 21 people for dinner on Saturday. We had about 12 or 13 overnight guests. Fellowship was stupendous. Had people coming down from Connecticut. We had people from Virginia. Lots of people from Pennsylvania. Was anybody here from Ohio? Oh, yeah, me. I'm from Ohio, and I was here. I'm telling you, I just can't say enough about these gatherings of the body of Christ. And I'm going to get out and see some other people, and we'll let you know what's happening on the Gulf Coast of Florida in early March. So, this is Martin Zender. Hi, everybody. We're going to continue our studies in 2 Timothy. I told you about things that God had said in the past concerning us. Don't go there. Because in the past, we, the nations, were once alienated, were once guests of the promised covenants. Now we're front line. I got to make sure you understand something about that. Don't get the wrong idea. I said that if anybody takes you back to the way it was in the past, that is when Israel and the nations were separate. I didn't mean that there's not a separate evangel now. It's just in the body of Christ, there's no difference. In the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, okay? Don't let anybody tell you that you still have to be subservient to Israel, or darn, if you were an Israelite, you'd really be flying high with God. Remember? That's what I used to think when I saw the priest. I want to be a priest. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I didn't want to be a priest, but when it came to God, I thought that those colorful robes and that holy aura and the holy scent. Every time I went into the confessional, I smelled the smell of God. I didn't realize it was Old Spice aftershave. That's the brand that my stupid priest wore. I was like, I'm in the presence of holiness. No, that's Old Spice. I didn't know that. I was a kid. And I thought the priest was great. But no, now I find out that, you know, seated at the right hand of God, member of the body of Christ. So don't think that Israel has preeminence over you. They don't. You are flying past Israel in Revelation. I'm serious. Even when they're in the 1,000 years, they're still going to be dealing with law. They're still going to be dealing with forgiveness. And we have justification. That means we're right. God has declared us righteous. Did you know that Israel doesn't even come into that during the 1,000 years? They don't, because all justification can only come apart from law, apart from law. Justification apart from law. And that's what the message Paul gave to the nations. But Israel in the 1,000 years is not going to be apart from law. They're going to be administering the law. The law shall go forth from Mount Zion. So don't think that you're any less than Israel. In fact, God is now calling out a body of people, of Jews and Greeks, jumping on the same ship, Paul's evangel. And the Jews, when they jump on the ship, they forsake their national identity. Not practically, because again, a tiger can't change its stripes, but they're no longer embracing or in love with their nationality. And Paul eventually said, to me, to be a Benjamite now, it's refuse. I'm not that. It's no big thrill to me anymore because I have something greater. So, again, don't let anybody tell you Israel is special. Well, they're special in still in a sense in that God has chosen them, but they have no preeminence whatsoever over you. In fact, they're jumping on your boat. They're jumping on your boat to become members of the body of Christ. Now, that's what we had in the past. And remember, we were in Ephesians chapter 2. And that was verse 11. Wherefore, remember that once you, the nations in flesh, who are termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision, that in that era you were apart from Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel. Well, now we're not only not alienated from it, but we hop, skip, and jump over Israel. And now, so here's, that's in the past. Here's the current status of the body of Christ. I promised you I would do this, and here we go. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. Yet now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who makes both one, both Jews and Greek, one. That's only in the body of Christ. Remember that. Only in the body of Christ are Jew and Greek one. There's another evangel going on that's not the body of Christ, and that's the circumcision. And in that gospel, it's still about Israel. Israel still has preeminence. Okay, makes both one and raises, R-A-Z-E-S, the central wall of the barrier, the enmity in his flesh, nullifying the law of precepts and decrees that he should be creating the two in himself into one new humanity. And a new humanity erases physical distinctions, making peace and should be reconciling both in one body to God. The new humanity is a humanity that goes back to Adam. It starts from scratch. Israel in the kingdom is not a new humanity. It is a reformed humanity. This is why the truth of the new creation thrills me so much, is because I don't want to reform myself. Israel's about reforming. They're going to get a new heart. They're going to be reborn. I'm a new creation, starting from scratch. And if you start from scratch, fleshly distinctions have no preeminence. They're not a part of the equation. And he's reconciling both in one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in it. There's enmity between Israel and the nations in the old days, because there was this snooty attitude Israel had toward the nations. He's killing that. That can no longer be there in the body of Christ. The new humanity brings everyone onto equal footing. That's what it does when you go back to Adam, because Adam predated Israel. So Paul takes us back to Adam, and therefore there's no national advantage. Adam, as we know, existed before nations existed. Nations came into being at Tower of Babel. Adam predated that. So the one humanity, again, Israel doesn't like that message because it does away with their physical supremacy, and that's what we're looking at. And coming, he brings the evangel of peace to you, those afar, and peace to those near. Peace to you afar, the nations, peace to those near, and we both are friends now with those of Israel who jumped the ship to join us in this evangel of grace. For through him, we both have had the access in one spirit to the Father. Those are shocking words, and we don't realize how shocking. In verse 18, through him, we both have had access in one spirit to the Father. Again, it's not so shocking to us now, but we don't realize what a stunning thing this was to think that any person of the nations, I mean, a man of the nations could not even go into the temple area. There was the court of the Gentiles, beyond which any non-Israelite would be killed if they passed. So he took away that barrier, and now that's where we are today. Now, after the snatching away of the body of Christ, Israel is back on the front burner. God picks up again with the chosen nation. The day of indignation comes on, and God's going to complete his course with Israel. We are the detainer. The presence of the body of Christ in the earth today is what keeps the trauma and it keeps the man of lawlessness at bay. God's not going to declare war on the earth until he removes his ambassador. So now we're going to talk about the ages to come. So after the present age of grace is brought to a close, God's not finished. I used to think that, you know, after this life, that's all there is. People talk about the end of the world. You know, who are those crazy people? The Mayan calendar, the world was supposed to end 2012. Well, when this age is over, that's not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. God has much to accomplish, and he does that in what's called the eons to come. And we read of the eons to come in this same context. Remember, we're correctly cutting the past from the present, from the future. Got us this to say about the future. God, it says he seats us among the celestials in Christ. And that is in Ephesians 2, verse 5. He rouses us together, seats us together among the celestials. Well, he's going to do that in the future. Look out your window. You're not there yet. I'm in Pennsylvania. I look out the window. Doesn't look like I'm seated among the celestials. It looks like I'm in Winbur, Pennsylvania. This is a figure of speech with God calling what is not as though it were. It's called prolepsis. That's the name of the figure of speech. And we see it plainly in Romans chapter 4. God says of Abraham in 4:17, a father of many nations have I appointed you. That's what God said to Abraham. I've appointed you your father of many nations, facing which Abraham believes it, but he didn't see it yet. Well, he believes it, quote, of the God who is vivifying the dead and calling what is not as if it were. He calls what is not as if it were. I've appointed you a father of many nations. Abraham looks around and goes, I don't even have a son. And yet he believed it of the God who calls what is not as if it were. That's a figure of speech called prolepsis. And God is doing that also here in Ephesians 2, speaking of our future, seats us, rouses us together, and seats us among the celestials in Christ Jesus. I don't see it. I look out the window, I don't see it. That's okay. God wants us to realize it's so real, he speaks as though it's real, calls what is not as though it were. Why does he do that? Because it's going to be. And God wants you to know that this future for you is going to be. It's so sure that he uses a figure of speech to put you right smack up against it. Seats us among the celestials in Christ. Of course you don't see it. It's a figure of speech. But again, he wants us to taste it, smell it, touch it, so much so that he calls it, he talks about it as though it were true. Abraham, I appointed you a father of many nations. And Abraham says, God, you're talking like it's actually going to happen. Well, he talks as if it has happened. And again, doesn't mean it has literally happened. It means it's going to happen so darn much that we're going to be bold and use a figure of speech and talk as if it has happened. Let's go on quickly there in Ephesians 2, that in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace. Look what we've gone from. We've gone from the past, where we were second-class citizens to Israel as non-Israelites. We were eating crumbs at the master's table without expectation, without God in the world. And now the present, yet now those who are far off are now near. God reconciles both. He takes that central barrier, the soreg, it was called, the wall of partition, where the Gentiles couldn't pass through. He's torn that down. He takes both, makes it into one body. Nobody has any advantage anymore, Jew over Greek, within the body of Christ. And he gives peace to both. Peace to those far, peace to those near. And now in the future, he's going to take that one body and speaks of us as now seated among the celestials. Oh, new creation. Don't forget that from the present. We are now a new creation, which means we start from Adam, not from Abraham. And we don't have to reform ourselves. Fleshly distinctions no longer matter if you take people back to Adam. Well, I should say nationality doesn't matter, because if we go back to Adam, there were no nations. And he does that so that in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us members of the body of Christ, both Jews and Greek, in Christ Jesus. For in grace through faith are you saved. This is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. I did it! I did it! No, you didn't. God did it through you. Enjoy the grace we have. And the oncoming eons, we're going to be displaying the transcendent riches of it. And the celestials are going to say, God did that with them? Wow, now that's grace.